بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This CD is brought to you by Faith Publications, the publishing arm of Dar es Salaam in College Park, Maryland. Stay tuned for more information about Faith at the end of this CD.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد،
brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to fear Him. If we believe, O you who believe, fear Allah in the way that He deserves to be feared, and don't die unless and until you've totally submitted, until you are Muslims. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is right. He will straighten out your deeds and forgive your sins. Surely, the one who obeys Allah and His Prophet has achieved a great victory, a great triumph, great success. Brothers and sisters, as always, as we go about life in practicing our deen, there are always challenges that come in front of us. And there are issues that make us think, or should make us reflect. These days, as you know, there are people who are incarcerated, people who are put in prison for no reason at all. And of course, for us as Muslims, this is nothing new, because we know that the Muslim in the past has gone to prison because of no crime but to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the prejudice and the bias and all those different things, they swirl around us. But in the midst of all of that, we always ask ourselves, what's the solution? And we've said often that the solution is to come back to Allah, and to come back to Allah together in a jama'ah. Brothers and sisters, within a few days, the last month of the year will be upon us. That is Dhul-Hijjah. This is the month of Hajj. And those of us who will be unable to do the Hajj, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are very crucial. These days are known as the greatest days, are considered the greatest days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed out, مَلْ عَمَلُ فِي الْأَيَّامِ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَشَرِ. That there's no work that you can do at any time during the year and any other days that is better than these 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And it'll roughly start within the next 5 to 6 days. It is a time for us to do as much good as we can. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to renew, to reflect, to renew our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's like a reminder after Ramadan. Ramadan, a lot of us, we felt a certain high, those of us who were really paying attention and trying to understand and reflect upon the Qur'an. And now, a lot of us, our iman has begun to ebb again, has begun to go down again. And just in the nick of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And these 10 days are the greatest days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're the most beloved of days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the problems that are around us, During these 10 days, we should now decide what should be done for the rest of the year in practical terms. In very practical terms. And foremost among those things, after having the proper aqidah and going ahead and making sure that you know the proper steps of our ibadah, like the salah and so on, after all of this is the concept of helping each other. Of helping each other. Of caring for each other. In even our matters of ibadah, this concept is emphasized, that we do things together in a community format, in a congregational way. So, we find in the salah that the salat al-jama'ah is worth 25 to 27 times more than if you were to pray by yourself. In the salah, every day we're reminded, those of us who are thinking and reflecting what we're reciting, we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that you are the one, O Allah, whom we worship, that all of us are together as a community. We're seeking your help, O Allah. We are seeking, not I, but we. And then we make a dua for each other. We say, إِهْدِنَا إِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. So that community feeling is emphasized at least 17 times a day, that we're to be together. And the salah is emphasizing this. And so, we're encouraged to pray in jama'ah. When we fast, we're encouraged to come together and to break our fast together. And when we pray the taraweeh, we do it together. When we give zakah, we give it to other people in our community. This is something that all of us are concerned about other members of the community. When we do hajj, we do it together. We do it in a one big family, like a one big gathering. So that concept is constantly emphasized. And therefore, we have to care for each other. In caring for each other, brothers and sisters, we will go through hard times. Through very hard times. You know, when the revelation began, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he first got the first revelation, he came home. And when he came home, he was very fearful. And Khadija radiallahu anha comforted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she told him that, don't worry, Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will never put you down. Why? Because she pointed out some factors, and all of them center around the fact that he cared for other people. So she told him that, look, you care for your relatives. You connect between your relatives. You're nice to your relatives. And then she mentioned some other things as well. And she mentioned the fact that you carry the burden of other people. You carry the burden of other people. And you go ahead and you win over those people who have nothing. You help them. You give them a leg to stand on. You give them hope. And you're a good host to your guests. And you're always there to help in the cause of good. To help in the cause of truth. You're always there. All five of those things that Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned talk about how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was concerned about other people. How he was always out there to help other people. His relatives, his being concerned about the problems of other people, carrying the burden of other people, being a good host to his guests, winning over people and giving people hope, and helping in the cause of truth and justice. All things that all of us today are concerned about. And Khadija radiallahu anha took those five attributes of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and on the basis of that she said, no, Allah will never put you down because of those five attributes. And all of that pointed to the fact that how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam cared for other people. Later on, brothers and sisters, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims, when they would be practicing their Islam and they were worshipping, they weren't really bothering anyone. And then the Quraysh, the Kufar at that time, they put an embargo, or they put these sanctions on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims. And so what happened is that Banu Hashim and Muslims and non-Muslims, you know, the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of them, they were put into this one area. And the Quraysh were all instructed that all of them would cut off from them. No food would go in, nobody was allowed to marry them, and they weren't to talk to them in any way. What is amazing is that during this time, the Muslims went through a very hard time in holding on to their deen. But again, the important thing was that even the non-Muslims went through this torment with the Muslims. Those non-Muslims who were associated with them. In other words, they cared for each other. There was a sense of caring for each other. There wasn't this sense of everybody for themselves. Of each one for themselves. This is the mentality that a lot of us are growing up with here in this country. And in the era that we live in. That everybody just cares for themselves. A Muslim is not like that. A Muslim cares for other people before he or she cares for himself or herself. So, at the time of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something that confronted Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam right away. And hence, after they had learned about Islam for the first 13 years and they had concentrated on the Aqidah, and then when they moved to Medina, and now when the Kuffar began to attack them, and they had to go to war, they had to defend themselves. Now, some of the Muslims were taken as prisoners. And when the Muslims were taken as prisoners, and some of them were slaves, who were freed. The Muslims, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other Sahaba, they would pay for some of these slaves to be freed. So that they would get their freedom. One time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after one of the battles, in the booty of the war, he received a golden egg, a golden chicken egg. It was made out of gold. So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being concerned about his congregation, being concerned about his people, he remembered that Salman radiallahu an had still not paid off for his freedom, because he used to be a slave. So Salman radiallahu an had still not paid everything for his freedom. So he called Salman, he asked for Salman, so Salman radiallahu an came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, خُذْ هَذِي, go ahead and take this golden egg, فَأَدِّ بِهَا مَا عَلَيْكَ يَا سَلْمَان, go ahead and take this golden egg and pay off what you owe to that person, O Salman. In other words, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about his brother, about his people. And he could have kept that golden egg, but you see, he was not a person who was attracted by worldly things, even though it looked really pretty. But he gave it up, so Salman radiallahu anhu could gain his freedom. Umar radiallahu anhu, one time he said, لِأَنْ أَسْتَنْقِذَ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ أَيْدِ الْكُفَّارِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. One time Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that for me, to rescue a Muslim, rescue a person from the Muslims, from the hands of the kuffar, to do whatever I have to get that accomplished, is more beloved to me than the entire Arabian Peninsula. In other words, Umar radiallahu anhu cared for the people. He cared for the people. And so therefore, caring for other people was something that was very important. And this is something that comes from our aqidah, our iman, our Islam. Brothers and sisters, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith one time he said, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ, other people. This is how the community grows. When you're concerned about other people, when you help out other people in their needs. This is how a Muslim community is. That you care and you love other people more than you love yourself. You sacrifice for others more than you do for yourself. You put others ahead of yourself. If they're hurt, you're hurt. If something good happens in their life, you're proud of them. You're not jealous. You're proud of them. You're not envious of them, but you're glad that they accomplished what they accomplished. You're proud of them. Because they're your brother. They're your sister in Islam. تعاونوا على البر والتقوى. Cooperate with each other for righteousness and for taqwa, for piety. Cooperate with each other. Help each other. Don't look down on each other. Don't be jealous of each other. Help each other. And if we have that type of a spirit, we can build a community. And that is the solution to our problems today. We must come together so we can ward off all these attacks against us. One or two or three or four or five of us as individuals cannot ward off all these attacks against the Muslims. We all have to come together. Look at the kuffar. They are together in attacking the Muslims. They form coalitions. They form organizations. Fighting against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslims should be able to come together and put their egos aside and destroy their arrogance. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, you know, there's so many things we've talked about in building a community. Brothers and sisters, when you come to Jum'ah, don't look at it as just a form of worship that you're going to just do some rituals and then out you go and then you've finished. That's not the purpose of Jum'ah. The purpose of Jum'ah is to bring us together to remember Allah and remember our mission in life. It's to remind us. To remember our mission in life in addition to the worship part of it, in addition to the ritualistic part of it. And to remind us to renew our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That commitment has to come in a practical form. And that's why we've constantly emphasized community. We must support our community. And when we say support, let me not just leave that as a general term. Let me be very specific, as I've pointed out earlier. Brothers and sisters, we have many projects. Many projects to share the message of Islam with other people, Muslims and non-Muslims. In Ramadan, we talked about the project of truth, which was the da'wah program to go out to the non-Muslims. And alhamdulillah, all of you supported that program. And there are great things that are happening with that program. And we'll talk about that another time. But there are other programs that all of you have to be proud of, that you all have participated in, to make them successful. One of those projects is faith. Faith stands for the Foundation for Authentic Islamic Text and Heritage. This is a project that has been started by Dar es Salaam to put out authentic texts according to the Quran and Sunnah to other people, for Muslims and non-Muslims, so that they can learn what is real Islam. And that will come in the form of tapes and CDs and books and pamphlets and booklets and so on. This is a project that needs support from all of us. Then there's the Muslim Link. All of you know about the Muslim Link. That's the newspaper that's going all around the entire area. There's about 8,000 to 10,000 copies that are printed. It's going all around the metropolitan area. Many people are very happy with the paper. But it needs your support. Would you believe, brothers and sisters, that when they put out an ad for people to come and support the paper, would you believe that the first one or two people were non-Muslims? The first person was a non-Muslim to support the paper. What does that say about us, brothers and sisters? Then there's the souq. The souq needs our support. The bookstore that we have here, it needs our support. We have the grocery store that's next door, International Tastes. Now, you're gonna buy books and tapes and clothes and fragrances and jewelry and other things and meat and food and all the condiments for your kitchen anyway. You're gonna buy them anyway. Why not just buy them here? Because when you buy here, the money goes back into the masjid. It goes back into supporting the school. As a matter of fact, if all of us just participated in these projects that Dar es Salaam has started, this is what will help us to build that community that all of us badly want. Imagine just something, you know, a lot of us, for a lot of us, most of us, I mean, we have roughly 500 to 700 people praying Jumu'ah here. Let's say that we only take 500 of us. And if 500 people every week went to the souk and spent $20, every Friday, they just went to the souk and bought whatever. Even if they didn't need something, they bought it as a gift for somebody else. $20. And you know you spend that anyway when you go out and eat or you order a pizza or you get a videotape or, you know, one of the, I mean, you spend that money anyway. So if you were to spend $20, if 500 of us were to spend $20, just $20, every Friday, that brings it to $10,000 every Friday. Just $20. It's not a big deal. Save it for the whole week, come and spend it in the souk. The money goes back into the school, Al-Huda school that is, to support the school. Imagine $10,000 a week in a month, that's $40,000 a month. That gives you roughly $500,000 a year. Just for you to spend $20 a week. That's all. And you'll be part of $500,000 being raised. That's a huge amount. And for that, the school can be supported. These are practical things I'm sharing with you. Not just general things that you go away with. That yes, we should support the community, support the community. These are practical, everyday, real things. You're gonna buy halal meat anyway, even if it's, if they are more expensive. By the time you get to the other store, you're gonna spend the same amount of money in gasoline anyway. Why not just buy it here? And let's say even if they are more expensive, instead of giving a donation later on, you just spend it here. And then, You will make up for the donation anyway, because you're gonna buy it anyway. What's a penny or 2 pennies or 3 pennies or a nickel more? What's the big deal? You're spending it in the way of Allah. Then you have the Computer Institute. The Computer Institute is there for the community to encourage others to join this Computer Institute. You know, many of you have connections with the government and to help us to get government contracts. The Nothing To It Computer Training Institute, if it can get government contracts, you know, the government pays anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 to $8,000 per course for a student. The government pays that. Now, you can encourage other people to join as students in the classes that are being offered by Nothing To It. The money comes back into the masjid. It comes back to support Al-Huda school. This is how we build community. Those of you who want to work, these projects are open. They're asking you to come and work for them. And to make your salaries like you make outside. The preschool. Brothers and sisters, if each one of us was to talk to our friends and get just one student, you know, each student that comes into the preschool, the parents pay $6,000 a year. And in some cases, a little bit more. Now imagine if, subhanAllah, if 100 of us were to get students to come into the preschool, and 100 students were to enroll at $6,000 apiece, that's $600,000 that comes into the masjid. The Quran Institute, the Arabic Institute, the Hifz School, although all these institutes are providing services, the Maghrib Institute, they're providing Islamic knowledge, but money is coming in through that also. You can encourage other people to join the Quran Institute, join the Arabic Institute, join the Maghrib Institute, join the Hifz School. MashaAllah, the Hifz School, Maybe by the end of this year, by this next coming Ramadan, we'll have 8 to 10 students who would have finished memorizing the Quran. The martial arts class. We can encourage our people, our community to join this. These courses that are being offered. Money will come in. And last but not least, Al-Huda school itself. Al-Huda school, if each one of us, as I've said often, was to just go out and convince just one student, each student that comes into Al-Huda school means about $4,000 to $5,000. If we had about 200 or 250 more students, we wouldn't have to do fundraising for the school itself. We wouldn't have to get involved in debts and borrow money to support the school. These are some real numbers. But despite all of this, brothers and sisters, despite the financial issues, alhamdulillah, the masjid is surviving. The school is surviving. And all these projects that are there, not only are they there to impart the message of Islam and to teach the community, but also to collect funds to support the main project, which is the school. And so in that instance, inshallah, we ask you to consider these projects and to care for your community. The non-Muslims at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ cared for Rasulullah ﷺ and the Muslims. And they spent 3 years